Welcome to the Everyday Podcast, where we have everyday conversations with everyday people about everyday topics. Well, welcome to this week's episode of the Everyday Podcast, where we have everyday conversations with everyday people about everyday topics. If we haven't met yet, my name is Jacob, and I'm so honored that you are on this journey with us as we learn about the everyday, where we talk about the things that are maybe mundane, they might be a little boring, they also might be exciting and energizing, but either way, it's what makes up your everyday, and that is what our topic, our point, and our goal is when we sit down together for these podcasts, where I get to talk to you, you get to listen, some of the episodes we get to talk to each other. Either way, we talk about everyday things. Now, I have a few quick announcements that I want to get to before we dive into this week's lesson that I've learned. First of all, if you are not already subscribed to the Everyday Podcast in your preferred podcast player, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, or Google Podcast, do me a huge favor. It doesn't cost you anything to click that like, subscribe, follow, whatever the specific button in your player is to get the latest episodes of this podcast delivered to your inbox, maybe via a push notification, or whenever you log in to listen to podcasts on your drive to work or drive from work or while you're at work or while you're at home. I don't know where you listen to podcasts. I'm usually driving when I'm listening, but whenever you launch that podcast player to pull up the next episode of what you're listening to, make sure you're subscribed, liked, followed, do whatever you can so that you can have this episode and the next episode and the ones after that pop up as the next episode that you listen to. Once again, something free that you can do. If you are liking what we are talking about week in and week out through the Everyday Podcast and think that someone maybe on your team, if you are a leader or someone who you are led by, would be interested in what we're talking about here, then share this with them. Like I said, it's very free to click that share button, whether it be a set of three dots or an arrow pointing somewhere, maybe the top right corner of the icon. It's free to just do that and say, hey, this is a cool episode. You should listen to this. Now, vulnerability and sharing things with others, obviously on a bigger scale of vulnerability, I know how difficult that is, but I also know that when you share things that could be helpful for other people, you get to see growth happen. Now, don't let this sharing be a thing of like, hey, you need to learn these lessons, but let it be something of, hey, this would be cool. So I really encourage you to share what we talk about on these episodes and in this podcast and on the journey of everyday topics. So speaking of everyday topics and things that we can talk about, I am really excited about this week's lesson that I've learned to share with you guys. It's been a fun one to learn this myself, and it's also been challenging and difficult and has made me really scratch my head because, good Lord, learning lessons for myself is really difficult. I am hard-headed, stubborn, and sometimes it takes me a while to catch on to things. This is one of those things that I'm still catching on to as I say, and as you'll hear me say, but this is really exciting as we talk about this next lesson that I've learned. Leadership is a responsibility. It's a mantle placed upon us from others who have identified that this person has the influence and can handle the authority within an organization, ministry, situation, whatever. It is a sign and a signal that we have what it takes to gather people, take care of them, and excite them for what the potential could be in a situation. But what really makes or breaks a leader is not what they can do for others, but what they can actually do for themselves first. In this episode, I want to take a look at the lesson that I've learned that I'm still learning and figuring out. And that is, in order to lead others, you must lead yourself first. I know what that sounds like. It sounds like it's a self-care self-help practice that has ultimately permeated our culture in both negative and positive ways. But in an objective sense, which is what we're going to press forward in today, before you can stand before a team, take care of them, push them towards a specific goal, and end up recapping that goal and how that was met with the team, you've really got to take a hard look in the mirror at yourself and say, am I taking care of me as a person before I step foot in front of other people? Now, self-leadership is something that many books, many speakers, many other podcasts have covered, researched, taken care of, spoken on, etc., etc., etc. It's something in leadership that we ultimately know is important, and we tell other people that you must lead yourself and take care of yourself and do all these things, and we just leave it at the leader and themselves. We give them this stack of books and stack of things that they have to do in order to be an effective leader, but we really don't give much action behind those suggestions. So just for the next few minutes, I want to unpack three things that I think are key to self-leadership. Now, if you are a leader, this is very important. This is something that through my years of taking care of teams, leading businesses and organizations, this is something that I have learned and found to be key, both from observing other people doing it and from observing it in my own life. And it's like I had mentioned a moment ago, it's a practice and a situation and a lesson that I'm learning day in and day out. So let's look at the three things first before we unpack them of what it means to lead yourself first. So number one, know what needs a no. Number two, budgeting is key. And number three, pour in to yourself. So, number one, know what needs a no. Whenever we're presented with an opportunity to choose your own adventure in our lives, and that really could mean something as big as I'm going to go take this new job, or I have an opportunity for a new position within my current company or external company, and I need to choose, hey, do I want to take it or do I not want to take it? Or literally something as simple as, my alarm just went off and I kind of want to press snooze. What do I do? We have choices in front of us in every aspect of our lives that sometimes look menial and minuscule and sometimes look big, hairy, and audacious. But when we really dive into the idea of knowing what needs a no and looking at what's called the opportunity cost, when you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. And when we weigh the options, one of the greatest teachers of all time, a man named Jesus, he said, a builder doesn't go and just start building before he counts the cost. Now, there is a lot of context around that. That's something that we could unpack and probably will unpack at a different time. But for this moment, the key to understanding what needs a no is weighing the cost of the options. Before you make a decision, talk to someone that you trust. Look at 3 months, 6 months, a year down the road of each option and give a hypothetical, hey, this might happen. Know what it means to say no to one thing and yes to another and vice versa in the situation and in the choices that you're given. Because if you know what needs a no in that situation, you can then zoom out. Look at the aspects of the situation and the choice that needs a no, and then you can apply it to other things in your life. You can take the principle that you have learned in this situation and apply it elsewhere. Second, budgeting is key. Now, it might make sense for me to say this because of where I work in a financial focused area as a customer service professional, where we get to help people and provide hope with honestly getting to teach them how to budget and how to manage their money well. But really, budgeting is not just a financial situation. What you can budget out in addition to your money is your time and your energy. We all have a schedule. We all understand what it means to exert the energy that we have derived throughout the day from eating well and doing things like exercising and taking care of our bodies. We all understand that our time, money, and energy really contribute to a lot of things in our lives. So when we think about this idea of budgeting that transcends just your bank account and your wallet, you start to really see the beauty of how arranging your schedule, of how saying yes to some things, going back to that first point, knowing what needs a no, knowing what needs your energy and what doesn't need your energy so that you can be the best that you can be in the things that you need to be doing. So when it comes to your time, sit down at the beginning of each week. Plan out those things that are most important. For me, the most important thing is spending time with my wife and being a part of the faith community in which I'm in. That also includes following along with the daily Bible readings that our church sends out. So that's very important to me. So that's the first thing that I sit down and do. And next, I plan out when I'm working out. And that's gonna be first thing in the morning, right when I wake up. Next, with your money, you need to be in a place as a person, not just as a leader, but as a person where you are in control of your finances and your finances are not controlling you. At the beginning of each month, you need to sit down with, if you are married with your spouse, or if you are single, / not married, sit down with someone who you trust in your life as something like an accountability partner to build out a budget. Be disciplined in your spending and spend your money on paper before it ever hits your bank account in such a way that your income minus your expenses equals zero, so you are not being undisciplined and spending money that you don't have. This practice itself, it's a very practical, easily attainable option that can set the precedent for budgeting your time and your energy as well. But really, budgeting and planning out your money and creating a cash flow plan will translate into your business life, into your work and professional leadership, because you will then know that you need to not necessarily make exorbitant decisions based on what you have as a resource in front of you. And finally, the third thing about budgeting is your energy. If you've practiced the idea of the first thing that we talked about, you know what needs a no, and you have decided beforehand that some things are a no for now, but not forever, then you can walk into planning out your energy decisions of, hey, I'm gonna focus on bigger projects, things that might be broken, or creating new things if you are in a position in your leadership team that that's what you do, instead of I'm going to, you know, order copier paper. While that is a very important decision, if you are a wise leader, you have positioned people to own that task and keep up with that and be responsible for that so that you can move on and do things that maybe meet up to your capacity a little better as a leader. So recap, budgeting your time, your money, and your energy is key to leading yourself well because that translates into other areas of your life. And then finally, the third thing, pour into yourself. If you are a leader and you spend one-on-one time with your followers, your teammates, your team members, you know that it is important for you to build a relationship with them. Sometimes you will overshare. Sometimes you will put a relational change in their pocket by doing things for them without question. And let me just pause right there. You're not leading and pouring into people for a transactional relationship. You are building trust. You're building rapport. You are caring for them in a way that as you guys move forward, you can have each other's backs. That's the ultimate goal of the idea of creating relational change in someone's pocket. You are making deposits into the relationship so that as that account grows and builds interest, metaphorically speaking, you can move into the next phase of your working relationship with ease, trust, and rapport so that as big things come your way, as big things come your team members' way, you know who has your back and they know who has their back. So I just wanted to say that before we continue talking about the idea of pouring into others. So you know this idea of creating and making deposits into other people, but really, if you don't have any deposits in and of yourself, you have a relational, emotional, inside yourself bank that if you don't deposit into yourself through reading books, listening to podcasts, spending time with mentors so that you can learn from people who have been where you are right now, if you're not taking the time to take care of yourself as a person and as a leader who knows that they have to take care of people, if you're not doing that for yourself first, then when you keep making deposits into other people, when you keep sharing those things that you want to be the brick that builds the trust bridge as you move forward in your working relationship. If you're not pouring into yourself, you will end up overdrawing your emotional, mental, relational bank account. And what happens when you get to there, when you get to that point where you have nothing left to give and you have to give something, you end up destroying yourself and getting to a point of burnout and really becoming a shell of a human. So before you get to that point, as you are pouring into other people, when you are looking at your time budget, your schedule, build that out in such a way that you are pouring into yourself first before pouring into others. Whether that's at the end of a long day, sitting down and taking a mental inventory of all the things that happened and reflecting on how you could have done that better, or on the weekends, scheduling out a block of time where you put your phone away, you go on a restful walk. You're not there to exercise necessarily, but you're there to just recharge and be disconnected from the things that pull you and pull parts of you away. You're scheduling time to read books. Now, it really could just be, so one of my favorite books that I'm currently reading is The Fellowship of the Ring by J.R.R. Tolkien. Is that a leadership book? No, but it's something that I enjoy doing because it gets my mind moving and allows me to disconnect for just a moment and learn and see the scenery in my head. And that pours into my emotional relational bank because I get a chance to do something that I love, and that's just read. Now, you, of course, do need to be growing and learning more by reading these leadership books that are so great, the things that we will get to talking about and that we have talked about, but just pour into yourself. Now, those are just that's just a template of things that you can do for yourself, but you know what it means to be full and you know what it means to be empty for yourself. So we've talked about three ways that you can lead yourself in your daily life, whether you are a leader, whether you're aspiring to be a leader, or whether you're someone who's just looking to get some disciplines and rhythms built into their daily life. So I really encourage you to try this tomorrow. When you wake up first thing in the morning, if you haven't already built out a weekly schedule, sit down and by the half hour, write out, this is what I'm going to do in my day. Or just print something out, maybe create an Excel spreadsheet that starts with 8 a.m. and ends at 5 p.m. And like I said, it goes every half hour so that you can track your time and what you've been doing throughout the day. Maybe it's sitting down for the first time and writing a budget, writing a numbers-based plan so that you don't spend more money than you're bringing in. You're spending your money on paper before it ever comes into your possession so that you're not wondering where all of your money went at the end of the month. Maybe it's really writing out a list of things that you are going to say yes to and things that you're definitely going to say no to. I don't know what that might be, but I really encourage you to apply this. This is not just something that I want you to listen to bring into your mind and then let it go out the other ear as you're going throughout your day. So I want to hear some feedback too of what worked of what I've suggested. So if you try to apply some of these things that we've talked about, give me a shout. Let me know either in a comment or a direct message on Instagram. That's every_day_podcast. Yeah, I know. All the podcast names were taken. Sorry. Let me know in a direct message, or if you know me personally, send me a text. If you want to get in touch with me somehow to let me know, hey, I've done this. Hey, I'm doing this. This is working. It's not working. How can I get better? We just talked about a few weeks ago. Don't be afraid to ask for help. And I am here to help you with whatever I can as you try to be a better you. Because this is really something that's going to take you from good to great. And like I said, I've experienced this. I've witnessed this both in other people and in myself. And I know that it works. So let me know if I can help. Let me know how I can help you get to the point and achieve the goal that you want. That's all we've got today on this week's episode of the Everyday Podcast. So thanks for having an everyday conversation with me about everyday topics as we help you in your everyday life. So as always, your everyday matters. Thanks for listening to the Everyday Podcast. Don't miss out on new episodes dropping every Monday. Hit the follow or subscribe button in your preferred podcast player to keep up to date. For resources and additional info mentioned in this episode, head to the show notes to learn more. While you're there, you'll find links to our social media outlets you can follow to stay connected between episodes. Remember, your everyday matters.